Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Open your Bibles up to Acts chapter 2. I'll read the text and I'll pray, and then he's like, bro, am I hanging out this whole time? You just make me sound more spiritual, bro. You heard the context this morning if you were in church, but Jesus has been crucified. Jesus rose from the dead. And for the next 40 days, Jesus is showing himself to people. And 1,500 eyewitness accounts see Jesus post-cross, post-crucifixion. He's resurrected. And Jesus gives his disciples a promise. He says, I'm going to go to the Father, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you a helper. Anybody thankful for the helper? I'm going to send you power. I'm going to send you a comforter. I need you to go and tarry in Jerusalem, and I'm going to pour my spirit out upon you. You know what's interesting is promises that God gives often require postures that we take. And oftentimes we want the promise, but we're unwilling to take the posture. Jesus says, I've got something for you, but I need you to position yourself for it. And so 120 of them gather in the upper room expecting this promise to be poured out. And that's where we pick up our text, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, just like we're all together here in one place tonight. And suddenly, everyone say, suddenly. Everyone say, suddenly. This whole night centers around this one word, suddenly. I have learned that he is the type of God that loves to move suddenly. That you can feel like everything is hopeless and broken and messed up, and God can break in suddenly. You can feel like there's no way out, that you are done, that you're down for the count, and God moves suddenly. Now, tonight's going to require a little bit of crowd participation. If you're an adult in the room, just bear with me. It's a youth conference, okay? So when I point the mic in your direction, I need you to say the word suddenly. You ready? Let's practice. God loves to move. That's great. He is the type of God that moves. Suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all, say all, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. How did God move? God moved suddenly, and tonight I'm praying for more than a one-time encounter. Come on. I'm not praying for you to feel God's presence one time and then leave the same. I feel like God's given me a unique assignment and a unique title to preach to Kings tonight. My heart for tonight is that you and I, here's the title of the message, you and I would get sick with suddenly. Not sick of suddenlies, but sick with suddenly. What does that mean? It means to be infected, infatuated, overcome, and undone with the consistent reality that I serve the type of God that can break into this room at any moment. That I serve the type of God. Come on, you are one prayer away from the breakthrough that you need. Sometimes you are one lifted hand away from the breakthrough that you need. Sometimes you are one hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, don't leave me alone. Don't get quiet on me tonight. Sometimes you are one in the middle of the message standing up and giving God praise away from him and healing your mind and your heart because he's the type of God that loves to move. Suddenly. So touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, tonight, you're going to get sick with suddenly. Touch your other neighbor, say second choice. Tonight, you're going to get sick with suddenly. Let me pray and I'll preach. Holy Spirit, we love you. We welcome your presence right now. We thank you that this is a place where your glory dwells. I thank you, Lord, that right now we come not in the name of Allah or Buddha. We don't come in the name of energy or karma. We come in the name of Jesus on the authority of your word. And I thank you that tonight we are going to encounter everything that you have for us and nothing less in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Thank you, bro. So good. So come on, give it up for the worship team. Great job. Growing up, I had a love-hate relationship with sick days. I love sick days because I was not a good student. And it meant I didn't have to go to school. But I hated sick days because I hated being sick. Now, if you're an adult in the room, you're going to have to forgive the adolescent nature of the illustration that I'm about to give. I'm at a youth conference, okay? So just bear with me. I hate being sick because as a man, even as a grown man, I am the most dramatic sick person you will ever meet in your entire life. I mean, like, and honestly, this is just us as husbands, isn't it? You know, like, our wives can be like, I think I'm sick. And we're like, 10 minutes later, we're like, babe, I think I'm getting what you have. Like, I think I'm the most dramatic sick person. I don't mean to be crass, but I am the loudest puker you will ever hear. When I puke with passion. The neighbors can hear it. I do it with fervency. I do it with tears. My prayer life and my puke life are very similar. I have a love-hate relationship with sick days. Now, students, today I feel like your sick days are a lot better than our sick days. Because you've got like TikTok and you've got like YouTube. And so I envision your sick days being like you go from TikTok to talkies and talkies to a nap and nap to YouTube and repeat. But when I was a kid, we had something called cable television. Come on, millennials and baby boomers in the room, how you know what I'm talking about? You had cable television where you don't get to decide what's on, and on the middle of a random Thursday, when you're watching TV, there's one option on your sick days. It's The Price is Right with Bob Barker. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? And so I would be sitting there on my sick day with my puke bucket. Side note, I don't know if this was a unique experience. Anybody have like the puke bucket was also the popcorn bucket a couple of weeks later? Maybe this was a middle class thing. I don't know. I'd be sitting there with my puke bucket and I'd be watching Bob Barker, and Bob Barker would be like, how much do you think these pans are? And I'd be like, I bet those pans are $150. And then Bob Barker would be like, these pans are $150. And then I'd be like, yes. And then I would puke loud enough for the neighbors to hear it. That's what my sick days look like growing up. But here's the thing about sick days. Here's the thing about getting sick is when you get sick, everything changes. Your schedule changes when you get sick. The way that you eat changes when you get sick. Your diet changes when you get sick. You cancel reservations when you get sick. You cancel your plans when you get sick. And my prayer for us this evening is that you and I would get sick with suddenly. That we would get intoxicated with this reality. Oh, God can move in any moment. This sickness changes everything. It'll change the way you pray. Because you won't come to God in prayer because it's the cool, churchy, religious thing to do. You will come to God in prayer knowing that the moment I open up my mouth, I am standing in the Holy of Holies and I have the opportunity to encounter what I need from God. This sickness will change the way that you read the scripture, because you won't read the scripture because that's what you're supposed to do as a Christian. You will open up the Bible knowing that His truth sets you free. And at any moment, that truth that you are reading could unlock something in your mind. And God can move how? Come on. God can move suddenly. It'll change the way that you worship. You won't lift your hands because that's what you're supposed to do as a spiritual Christian. You'll lift your hands knowing that you are one hallelujah away from a breakthrough. I'm praying that we get sick with suddenly. What does it look like to get sick with suddenly? It looks like living on the edge of your seat. Not watching the clock saying, when's this going to be over? But watching the glory of God saying, who's He going to heal tonight? Who's God going to break through into tonight? How is God going to move this evening? From Genesis to Revelation, we see it. God is the type of God that loves to move suddenly. Can I talk about this for a moment tonight? I want to take you through the narrative of of scripture. It's the book of Exodus, and the Israelites are being free from Egyptian captivity, and they reach a barrier called the Red Sea, and it seems hopeless, and it seems like they're not going to be able to break through, and they hear chariots behind them, but then God suddenly splits the sea. It's the book of Joshua, and they're walking around the walls of Jericho, and nothing is changing, and nothing is shifting, and nothing is breaking through, but then suddenly the walls start to crumble. He's a type of God that can move suddenly. The end of the Old Testament, there's a period called the intertestamental period. Students, don't get sleepy on me, but between Malachi and Matthew, there are what is called 400 years of silence. No miracles, no presence, no glory, no king's campuses. Can you imagine? 400 years. Can you imagine the way civilization would have turned? They're in this broken state, and probably many stop believing in God, but then suddenly, come on, Jesus shows up on the scene and changes everything. And in the ministry of Jesus, you see suddenlies all throughout scripture. Mom, there's a man who's paralyzed for 38 years. That's like 14,000 days. He cannot walk. He's in the same place every single day, begging. And then Jesus shows up, and suddenly he gets healed and begins to dance on legs that he used to not be able to walk on. He's the type of God that moves suddenly. I want to build your faith just for a moment, because I believe tonight we're going to encounter the God of suddenlies. It was the woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, going to every doctor, cannot get breakthrough, and then God moves. Suddenly she is healed. It's Lazarus after 4 days, and then suddenly he is raised from the dead. Come on, it's Paul and Silas in a prison cell at midnight, and they begin to worship while they're on death row, but then help me. Suddenly the ground begins to shake and the prison doors fly open. He's the type of God that moves suddenly. Suddenly, I'll give you one more. Jesus has been crucified. He's beaten till no longer recognizable as a man. They put him in on the grave. And then on the third day, friends, death met suddenly. And the stone rolled away. And Jesus took a deep breath, and Jesus walked out of the grave. He's the type of God that loves to move suddenly. All throughout the narrative of scripture, we see it, that he can break in at any moment. And I would propose to you tonight that he has never stopped being the God of suddenlies. In Acts chapter 2, the disciples were fearful, confused, and hurting. They didn't know what was next. And then suddenly this wind begins to blow. And fearful people begin to have faith, and scared people become bold. And there's no doubt in my mind that after that moment, they were fully convinced he's a God who moves suddenly. And so tonight, here's the question, super simple. How do I get sick with suddenly? How do I live on the edge of my seat? How do I live with expectation? And here's number one, get expectant. If you're taking notes, get expectant. What did these disciples do? They heard Jesus say, if you go into this room, my Holy Spirit will be poured out upon you. And this is what they did. This is a novel idea. This is a wild idea. They took God at his word. They said, if you say it, I believe it. And so they actually went to the upper room, not watching their clocks or saying, when's this going to be over? Or how long do we have to be here? But I envision them walking into that upper room with deep expectation, saying, if God said it, we can take it to the bank. Come on, he's going to show up in my life. I wonder what would happen if we had a generation of young people that actually live with expectancy, that actually took God at his word, that when God says, if you seek me, you'll find me, he means it. Young people, you live with expectancy in every other area of your life. Come on, you will go to Canes. Come on, bless God for Canes. Any Canes fans in the room? Jake was just telling me he was going crazy at Canes yesterday for his birthday. Come on, anybody wish Jake a happy birthday? Yeah, come on. You will go to Canes, and you will look at a 16-year-old in a uniform, and you will say, I want the five-finger combo or whatever. You will pay for what you ask for, and then you will sit at the drive-thru, and you will wait knowing that what you purchased is going to be received. Come on, you got expectancy in Canes. I just learned you guys didn't have Chick-fil-A here. That's crazy. Praying for you, man. Come on. I don't know about you, but I've got expectancy in Amazon Prime. If I click that button on Amazon, I know without a shadow of a doubt, I'm watching that thing, I'm tracking that thing, I know it's gonna show up. I've got expectancy. Everyone say expectancy. Expectancy. And I don't know about you, but I have found that I oftentimes have more expectancy in Cane's and in Amazon Prime than I do the God of the universe. Because I'll say Cane's has got it because it's paid for. And Amazon Prime's got it because it's paid for. And guess what else has been paid for? Your healing, your breakthrough, your deliverance has been paid for. So why don't I put the same expectancy on him that I do on everything else? Expectancy. Imagine this. I want you to imagine you and your friend are walking down the road and someone bumps into your friend, knocks him on the ground. And your friend looks up and sees the man that knocked them on the ground is none other than the Tesla inventor, the SpaceX man himself, Elon Musk, just knocked your friend on the ground. Just imagine this with me. And Elon Musk looks down at your friend and says, I'm so sorry I knocked you on the ground. By the way, Elon Musk is worth $298 billion with a B dollars. He makes $1,500 every 3 seconds. That was a 3 second pause. He just made another $1,500. I want you to imagine he knocks your friend on the ground and he looks up, or your friend looks up at Elon and says, you just knocked me on the ground. Elon's like, hey, I'm so sorry that I knocked you down. I want to make it up to you. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And I want you to imagine. Now, actually, let me just ask the young people in the room. If Elon Musk asked you whatever you want, you can have it. What are you asking for? Let me just hear you shout it out. Shout it out. What are you asking? Money. I just hear money. I'm going to ask for a Tesla. Come on, give me a Cybertruck. That thing looks cool. Imagine this, though. Imagine your friend looks up at Elon Musk and says, Mr. Musk, Senior Musk, Sir Musk, $298 billion Senior Musk. He says this, I would like a $5 Starbucks gift card. I don't know about you, but if I'm with my friend, I'm taking my holy hand and I'm slapping him in the name of Jesus. Why would you ask for so little when he has limitless resources and is able to give you so much? And that sounds like a wild scenario, but how many times do we come into church to the God who has limitless resources, who's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask, think, or imagine? We say, I'd like to feel a goosebump, please. Friends, young people, teenagers, he doesn't just want to give you a goosebump. He wants to change your life forever. Oh, I just want a break from my anxiety. He doesn't want to give you a break from your anxiety. He wants to annihilate your anxiety so it never shows up another day. Oh, come on, I just want a break from my depression. No, he wants to break your depression forever. Come on, I just want a couple of weeks where I don't see those websites. No, he wants today to be the last day that you ever run back to that thing and you live pure all the days of your life. Come on, are you with me, Kings? Can you bless him if you believe that he's a God who can do anything? We ask for God, we say, will you just use me just to do something small and make me, I just want to do a small contribution on the earth. No, ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. Stop asking so small. Live with expectancy. It's the place that the disciples are in. They're living with expectancy. God, if you said it, you can do it. What does it require to become sick with suddenly? Number two, it takes hunger. Everyone say hunger. Pop quiz, does anybody know how long the disciples were in the upper room? 10 days. 240 hours. I can't remember how many minutes. I did the math earlier. Who knows? 14, I don't know. 240 hours, 10 days. And this is what I envision the disciples doing. I envision them praying, fasting, weeping, contending, longing. God, you said you'd pour out your spirit, so here I am believing for it. Lord, you gave me a promise, so I'm positioning myself for the promise. I picture the disciples saying stuff like, I'll pray till I have no voice left. You ever been that desperate? I'll cry till I got no tears left. I will seek you until I find you. I imagine them being in this place of deep desperation and hunger for 10 days. 10 days, and on day 10, the wind of God began to blow. And I started being moved by this thought. I was praying for you today, and I was moved by this thought. What if the disciples would have left on day 9? And I wonder how many times I have been this close to a breakthrough, and I've said, you know what? I have never prayed this hard before in my life, and God's not doing anything. I guess he doesn't want to move in my life tonight. I wonder how many times I've been at the altar and right before God was about to transform me, I said, you know what? I've been doing this. It's been 30 minutes already. Can I just challenge us not to be the type of believers that leave on day 9? That we don't, this is what Jesus said. He said, pray until, everyone say until. Pray until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You know, we pray until we're tired. We pray until we're exhausted. We pray until we're done. And Lord, I'm saying, God, put an until in my spirit over these next 4 days that, Lord, I will seek you until I find you. I'll pray until I meet with you. I'll pray until I get breakthroughs. Is anybody with me? It's hunger. It's desperation. Jesus says, if you seek me, you'll find me. I used to tell my students all the time when I was a youth pastor, I used to say, God's not good at everything. He's bad at hide and seek, because he said, if you seek me, you'll find me. That's the confession of somebody who is bad at hide and seek, by the way. You ever play hide and seek with a toddler? He's got his feet underneath the curtains. He's in the cupboard, but he's giggling. You know, God will conceal himself just a little bit to initiate in you pursuit, but you better take it to the bank that when you seek him, you'll find him. Get expectant, get hungry. On day 10, the Bible says suddenly, come on, everyone say suddenly. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit began to blow. And for the rest of their lives, they had this eager expectation and anticipation. God can move suddenly. I want to invite the worship team to come and join me. I want to spend the remainder of our time together tonight sharing with you some suddenly stories. And I believe that over these next few moments, God's gonna stir our faith. Young people, I want you to look at me and lean in all across this room. I've seen too much, and I've become ruined by the reality that he's the type of God that moves suddenly. Now, I know that this is a miracle church. I know that this is a place where you've encountered the presence of God. How many can bear witness that you have seen God break into moments that you thought were hopeless, but he moves suddenly? My brother, Pastor Jacob Barrientos, who's ministered at this church before, he's my actual brother. I know we look just alike. Same mom, different dad. I was 14 years old, and he was the lead pastor at a church, small church in Illinois, and a mother brought her baby into a church, and this was a grieving mother because she had just got a diagnosis that this baby's heart was on the wrong side of its body. They got the x-rays, and they see it, and my brother lays his hands on this baby and begins to pray for God to work a miracle. We feel the presence of God fill that room, and a couple weeks later, they get a doctor appointment, and they go, and they get x-rays again, and guess what? We've got two x-rays side by side, one with the baby with the heart on the wrong side of the body, and one with the baby where the heart is on the right side of the body. Why? Because he's the type of God that can move how? Oh, come on, give him praise, kings. He's the type of God that can move how? He moves suddenly, and then since that moment, at 14 years old, I become sick with suddenly. I could tell you stories. I'm 31 years old. I'm young, but I know that there are more stories on the horizon, but I've lived long enough to know that he is the type of God that loves to move suddenly. I was a 16-year-old cashier at a Save-A-Lot grocery store. This man walks into the room. His name is Lonnie, he was a coworker of mine, and I see him pale in his face. I see light leaving his eyes. He tells me that he just got a terrible cancer diagnosis. And young people, I want you to understand something. You don't have to wait till you're in church to lay hands on people. And so I said, well, Lonnie, I want to pray for you. And so I came around the cash register and I put my hand on his shoulder. I prayed a simple prayer of healing. And a month later, I saw that man walk in with color in his face, with light in his eyes, walking strong. He came to me, he says, hey, cancer's gone. Why? Because he's the type of God that can move suddenly. He's the type of God that can move suddenly. Come on, I've stood in churches where in the middle of preaching, come on, sometimes you don't even have to wait for the altar call. In the middle of preaching, I've seen miracles break out in people's lives because he's the type of God that moves suddenly. Suddenly, I was at a youth conference in 2019. I'm standing on the stage and I hear the Holy Spirit say that there's a young lady in the room who's got scars on her left shoulder from cutting herself. God said, I want you to pray for her. I want to take her scars away. And I was like, Lord, you pray for her. I don't want to share that word. So I wrestled with God, but then I released this word. Hey, there's someone here. You got scars on your left shoulder from harming yourself. I want to pray for you. God wants to take your scars away. And so I prayed a prayer and I ended the service and I was walking to the back of the sanctuary and this young girl comes up to me with tears in her eyes. She said, hey, you prayed for scars? I had scars on my left shoulder. And when I looked down after you prayed, the scars that used to be there are gone. It became smooth skin. God took away the thing that she thought she was going to have for the rest of her life because he's the type of God that can move. He can move suddenly. I share the story all over the world, but my second son, Carter, August 25th of 2020, he is born. And I see my son for the first time. He's completely stillborn and lifeless. The umbilical cord wrapped around his neck 2 times. The doctors have a scale from 1 to 10 where they measure the health of babies. They put him at a 0. Doctors and nurses are rushing into the room and I begin to pray. I begin to intercede. I begin to ask God to move. And after 1 minute, nothing happens. After 5 minutes, nothing happens. Come on, day 9 comes and nothing happens. But after 8 minutes and 22 seconds, the doctor came up to me and said, hey, we've got a heartbeat. Listen, God raised my son from the dead because I need you to praise the Lord with me. If you believe that he can move suddenly, if you've got some things in your life that are dead that you need to come alive, I need you to give him praise right now because he's the type of God that can move suddenly, suddenly. Suddenly, I am sick with suddenly. Listen, I don't preach because I can't get a better job. I don't worship the way that I worship because it's just the cool Christian thing to do. I don't preach the way that I preach because it's the cool thing to do. I live like this and preach like this and worship like this because I have become overcome, overwhelmed, undone, and completely messed up and ruined with the reality. He moves suddenly. He moves suddenly. I've been sick with suddenly since I was a kid. And ever since then, the devil's been trying to cure me. Come on, how many of you been walking with God for a minute? Let me see if your hand, if you've been walking with God for a while. There's something about walking with God for a long time that either stokes the fire or makes you familiar. I feel Jesus. I mean, I've been here in Alaska for like less than 24 hours and I'm already like, yeah, there's the mountain. It's human nature to become familiar with that which is mind-blowing. We walk with God for a while and we used to believe, oh yeah, God can do anything and we're looking for the miracle. But then you walk with God for a while and you start to get tired, you start to get cured. Can I just ask the people who've been walking with God for a while, what cured you? Because you used to be sick with suddenly, you used to have faith and expectation. What cured you? Ever since I was a kid, the devil's been trying to cure me of this disease, because if you ever get young people, if you ever get sick with suddenly, if you ever realize God can move in any moment, you will be dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. And so the devil started feeding me pills to try to cure me of this sickness. Pills like distractions. You remember they get filled with the Holy Spirit, and the first thing that happens is people start to criticize. Ah, they're just drunk. Ah, what are they doing? Babbling. Why? Because the moment you get an encounter from God, the devil will try to pull your eyes onto something else. He'll distract you. Young people, this is not like an anti-social media thing. I believe social media is powerful. I think it's important. But did you know the average American spends 7 hours a day on social media? Texting and swiping and scrolling and liking and refresh. Our faces glow. Not with glory like Moses, but in the pale blue light that Steve Jobs created. We have given the light of the world a new definition. Distractions. See, in the Old Testament, their life was oriented. Come on, I feel the presence of God. I need you to lean in. Because when God blows into the room, suddenly you don't want to miss it. In the Old Testament, their life was oriented around the Ark of the Covenant. It was God's glory in a box. And in 2025, we have started orienting our lives around the wrong box. And we center our living rooms around the wrong box, and we center our time around the wrong box. And I'm not saying that we can't be on social media or need to get off technology, but friends, your life will change when you put on airplane mode and get on your face and seek God. You got to stop taking the pill of distraction. What's the pill that has cured you? You know what I've found? The pill that cures many people is the pill of indifference. Ah, if God moves tonight, that's great. If he doesn't, no problem. I've got plans regardless. Indifference. You know, the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, we've become middle class in spirit. I need you. Kind of. I need you some months. I want to be poor in spirit. I want to wake up. I mean, I'm talking like you wake up with no giants to slay and no sicknesses that need to be healed and no financial miracles that need to come through in your life and still say, Jesus, I need you today more than I did yesterday. I'm poor in spirit. I'm nothing without you. It's the pill of indifference. You know what C.S. Lewis said? He said, Christianity, if false, is of no importance. If true, it's of infinite importance. The only thing Christianity cannot be is kind of important. Hudson Taylor used to say it like this, Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And Spurgeon said it like this, if Christ is anything, he must be everything. There is no place for indifference in the kingdom of God. And here's the final pill that I'll talk about. What is curing you? What's curing you of this sickness, of your expectation? It's the pill of disappointment. I want ever to lean in. Young people, I want to see your eyes. Anybody ever been disappointed before? I've told you a lot of miracle stories tonight. But can I share with you, friends, a disappointment? It's almost a year ago. I'm watching my two boys. My wife goes for a routine checkup. She's 35 weeks pregnant. I get a phone call from her, and I can hear the moment she said my name. I remember where I was standing. I remember exactly how she sounded, and I remember my heart sinking into my stomach when she said my name through tears. She said, John, she said, they can't find a heartbeat. I did the only thing I knew how to do. I started blasting worship music. I started praying in the spirit. I've been here before. I called every single person that I knew that knew God well and had a prayer life. And I said, will you please be praying? I got a babysitter to come over and be with my boys, and I'm flying down the interstate to go be with my wife, and I'm going in between praying to God and yelling at God. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? This was a prevalent prayer that I was praying. I would say, God, don't take my son from me. You're trying to teach me a lesson. Teach me another way. I'm flying down the interstate, and I get to the hospital, and I walk into the room, and I say, is there any way we can do one more sonogram? And they do one more sonogram, and it was the most deafening silence that I've ever heard in my entire life. Moments where I was like, this can't be real. Moments where my wife literally grabbed the doctor, shook the doctor, and said, wake me up, tell me this is a dream. I can remember us weeping, and Kaylee was induced that night. She gave birth to this beautiful boy named Cole. And on June 29th at about 4 a.m., I held this boy and I prayed again, Lord, can you work a miracle? And I would love to tell you that the end of this story is that he raised up and God worked a miracle, and then we all stand and clap and shout. But it didn't work that way. Hey, what do? When you know God can heal, but he doesn't. I feel pain in the room. I feel people understanding what I'm saying in the room. What do? When you've got all the scriptures memorized, but you don't see what the scripture says in your situation. And here's what's happened to me in this last season, is the devil's been trying to feed me pills of disappointment to cure me of this sickness called suddenly. And every time I see an empty car seat, he's feeding me a pill. And every time I gotta pay a hospital bill on a baby that is not in my arms, he's feeding me a pill. And when I had to decide, are we going to cremate or bury, the devil's been feeding me a pill. And I've been standing in this tension, in this swirl, in this vortex of, God, you did all of this stuff here. And what about the scars and the cancer and the resurrections? But what about this? I've stood in the middle of all of it. And I've seen so many people in that season walk away from God and say, I guess God's not good like I thought he was. But I came to declare to us today that just because God didn't do it in that season, it does not mean that his nature has changed. Friends, I don't stand on experience. I stand on the word of God. And so I can stand on the other side of tragedy and still say, even though that disappointment happened there, I'm still sick with suddenly. I still believe that you're the God who can. I still believe that you're the God who will. I still believe that you can heal sickness and raise the dead. And I still believe that you can heal cancer. Come on, I'm in this season. Woo! Come on, stand to your feet with me. Just for a moment. I want to make a prophetic declaration over this entire room that we're done taking the devil's pills. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know if it's indifference. I don't know if it's distractions. I don't know if it's disappointments. Come on, can you bless him if you believe it with me that we are dumping out the devil's pills? And from this day forward, I'm getting sick again. I'm getting intoxicated again. I'm getting infected again. I'm getting expectant again. That every time I walk into the house of God, oh, he's going to come all of a sudden. All of a sudden.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.